Today on More to Life, expectation exasperation. Are the expectations you have for yourself or others stressing you out? Not sure whether you're expecting too much or where to draw the line? We'll help you set realistic goals. 877-573-7825.
Have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, expectation exasperation. Not as easy to say as you might think. We are asking, are the expectations you have for yourself or others stressing you out? You know, we all find ourselves in places where we are asking for help from certain people and getting that reaction as if somehow we're just asking way too much. How dare we, right? And sometimes we expect a lot of ourselves and end up feeling like we're not either measuring up or keeping up in some way. Expectations, on the one hand, can help us lead more fulfilling lives and have more supportive relationships, but on the other hand, can feel like a weight that's crushing us and our relationships. How do we get it right? Well, that's what we're talking about today on our show titled Expectation Exasperation. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Once again, that's 877-573-7825.
Well, you're absolutely right in that expectations can be beneficial in a lot of ways. You know, they can help us set goals. They can help us set our priorities in life. They can give us something to work toward, especially if we're the ones setting those up for ourselves and they are within reason and we can break them down into smaller steps. Those can be very good things. They can be the things that keep us from just sitting in a state of inertia or even getting depressed. Like being able to have expectations and move toward them for ourselves or our relationships can be extremely beneficial. But when we set unreasonable goals for ourselves, when other people are expecting so much from us that it doesn't necessarily even align with what we want for our lives, or it's too much on top of what else everything else is expecting of us in the world, or it's just coming from a place of core people who should be supporting you and instead seem to be running you down because they're telling you in either the way they look at you or the words they say or the way they treat you that you're not enough, that you're not measuring up. That's when it can get really, really toxic and kind of dangerous for us.
And you know, the other time that this is difficult is when we're trying to ask other people to do what we think is reasonable, and they just treat us as if we're asking the world. And how do we know? You know, we end up walking away from those things kind of scratching our head, saying, on the one hand, you know, I need this help, and I thought it was reasonable for me to ask, but they're treating me like I'm the most unreasonable person in the world. What do I know? How do I know what's true? Well, that's what we're helping you sort out today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877 573-7825. Of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can still get your questions in via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we love hearing your voice, and more importantly, being able to ask those follow-up questions that enable us to tailor our responses to your particular challenges. So the number again, 877-573-7825. Call up and share. Does someone in your life say that you just want too much from them? How dare you? Right? Do they accuse you of nagging them or say that they can never please you? Maybe they roll their eyes. We all love that, right? Mm. And act disgusted or irritated or make you feel guilty whenever you ask for help. Alternatively, do you struggle to live up to your own or someone else's expectations, always feeling like you can never measure up? Well, however expectations are exasperating you, we want to help you find the graceful cure for expectation exasperation. And again, the number, 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how could it possibly help me have healthier expectations for myself and others? You done come to the right place. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, gave a series of reflections that looked at how we could have a more abundant life and have healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation, and especially of our bodies.
The theology of the body reminds us of four important things that helps us to have healthy expectations of ourselves and of others. First, we are called to greatness. God is always working in us to help us live more abundant lives and have healthier, holier relationships. Second, we have a right to expect people who say they love us to be all in when it comes to our relationship with them. From the perspective of the theology of the body, saying I love you communicates a promise that you can always count on me to do everything I can to give you the support you need and help you live a full and fulfilling life. Third, God gave us bodies, and those bodies have limitations. That's because we were created for communion. We have limitations to remind us that we need others. We're not meant to do everything ourselves. When we hit a limit, we're meant to ask for help. That's how communion is actually created.
That's right. Now, but the fourth thing the theology of the body reminds us is that we may never treat people, including ourselves, as tools, projects, or objects. You know, people deserve to be loved, and our expectations of people, whether that's others or ourselves, have to be ordered toward their ultimate good. So in deciding whether an expectation is reasonable, we've got to ask, is what I'm expecting healthy and good for this person? Can what I'm expecting be done in a healthy way? And finally, when communicating my expectations, am I willing to make reasonable accommodations that consider their needs too? If I can say yes to those questions, well, then there's a good chance that my expectations for myself or others are probably reasonable. But if not, I may need to make some adjustments. Now, that's all great in theory, but when it comes to actually applying it to specific situations, it can get a little hairy sometimes. So we are here to help. Give us a call. Our show today, again, is titled Expectation Exasperation. Are the expectations you have for yourself or others stressing you out? Not sure whether you're expecting too much or not enough or where to draw the line? Let us help you have realistic goals for yourself and others and overcome expectation exasperation today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. Then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you have created us for greatness, that you call each of us to be saints, to be perfect. But we are far from that, Lord. And often in our attempts to be everything that you created us to be and encourage those we love to be everything you created them to be, We can set unreasonable expectations, expecting ourselves or others to do too much or do it in ways that are not healthy or good for them or respectful of their other needs or concerns. So Lord, help us to avoid expectation exasperation by placing all of our hopes and dreams in your hands and asking you to teach us how to respond to those desires of our hearts, the longings we have for healthier and more supportive relationships, and our own efforts, Lord, to be respectful of ourselves and others and the limitations you've built into us so that we can work toward these goals while being mindful of the communion that we were created to live in. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Expectation Exasperation. Does someone in your life say you want too much from them? Do they accuse you of nagging them or say that they can never please you? Maybe they roll their eyes or act disgusted and irritated or make you feel guilty whenever you ask for their help. Or, alternatively, do you struggle to live up to your own expectations or someone else's and always feel like you're not measuring up for some reason? Either way, we want to help you find a graceful cure for expectation exasperation. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Sandy. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you today?
Thank you. Well, I recall a situation about 30 years ago when I was working for an agency, and it was on a day where I had a full schedule of things that could not be moved or adjusted. And so I had let my expectations be known to my group that I needed their help, say at 3:30 p.m.
So, Sandy, you know, I'm going to just jump in. I'm going to interrupt you for just a second because, you know, you're describing something that happened 30 years ago. But what you told our screener was that you still feel guilty for a lot of those things that happened a long time ago. And I want to kind of focus just in the interest of time on that concern, because I think that I don't want to bury the lead, you know. Is that the question? You know, how do you overcome those feelings of guilt for things that happened in ancient history?
Yes.
Okay, and so tell me, what do you try to do now to let go of those feelings?
Well, I just try to remember that and take it easier on other people now, and realize that I'm not the only one. I realize that I shouldn't resort to being mean or.
Well, right, that's true, and those are all good things. But I guess I'm curious in terms of the guilt that you feel about all this.
Words. Yeah, I just feel guilty that I made an ass of myself. in this situation.
Okay, so let's talk about
regret. And I can't go back and fix it that far back.
Well, no, but there are things that we can do to let that go. And so, number one, you know, if there is anything that you have not confessed that you feel that you should, by all means, bring it to confession. Now, if you've confessed these things already, it's going to be, I don't want you to bring it back to confession, because then that becomes scrupulosity, right? We are, when we keep bringing those old either sins or failings back to God, we don't trust that He's forgiven us when we've confessed those things, then we're actually blocking that grace, and that's not a good thing, right? So if you haven't confessed something that you feel that you'd like that grace and forgiveness for, by all means, take advantage of that sacrament of healing. That's really important. Assuming that you've done that, then the second thing to do is realize that, you know, these things that have happened in our past are meant to help us do better in the future. Right, and Satan wants us to look at those past mistakes and just wallow in regret. That's what St. Ignatius of Loyola referred to as a desolation, right? A desolation is any thought or impulse or feeling that makes it harder for us to be the person God wants us to be, or harder to draw closer to God. And when we're sitting around thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe that I wasn't perfect all those years. I can't believe I said a mean thing. I can't believe I did this, you know, committed this mistake. What's wrong with me? Well, you know, what's wrong with me is I'm a human being who's broken and sinful, but God's mercy is super abundant, and that's what I need to lean into. So, you know, what the Holy Spirit wants me to do is learn from those things and say, like you were just telling us, us, okay, you know, I have that capacity to sometimes have be short with people. I have that capacity to sometimes say mean things or behave in a way that's disappointing. So what can I do the next time a situation like this comes up, and how can I respond to it better? So we have that more solution-focused, grace-filled mindset that helps us look around at our life now and say, you know, where can I be? Where can I make sure to be kind? Where can I make sure to be generous? Where can I make sure to be understanding, patient, compassionate, and patient?
And really, once you've delved into that in prayer with God, and again, not flogging yourself, but saying, you know, Lord, I've taken this to confession, but I believe you really want me to grow even more, even 20 years on now, in the virtues that you want me to live out, in the person you want me to be, in the woman of God you want me to be. So you go back and you think to yourself in your prayer time, I wish I had been more patient, more understanding of other people's needs, more clear in my expectations, whatever those things are that come to mind, that if you could have been the person you want to be, in that situation or situations that you're recalling that make you feel bad. And then you write that down, and you start every day in your prayer time, after you've spent some time in morning prayer, you say out loud, God, help me to be patient today, kind today, loving today, whatever those virtues are. And then you kind of keep, you know, your side eye out for times where you can do those things. So you're growing in virtue. You're making reparation for the things that happened in the past because you're actively working on growing now and being a bigger blessing in people's lives right now. So you're actively working against that so you can, instead of feeling guilty about things that happened in the past, you can say, I'm using this as a lesson. I'm using this as a way to grow closer to God, closer to other people, and be my better self.
But if that impulse is driven more by shame than by grace, and you know, and that sort of the joy that comes from knowing that I can live in God's grace and do and make a positive difference in the lives of others, if you're sitting around kind of wallowing in the shame of past things, even after you've confessed them, then you might be dealing with something called scrupulosity. And scrupulosity is it's actually a kind of obsessive-compulsive disorder that affects our spiritual lives. And it causes us to obsess over past mistakes, and then be, you know, you often kind of engage in some kind of compulsive activity as a way of overcoming them, like going back to confession to say the same things over and over again, or saying certain prayers in certain ways over and over and over again. In that case, you know, if that's what you're dealing with, then it might be time to seek some help for that. And the Pastoral Solutions Institute at CatholicCounselors.com really specializes in working with people who are struggling with scrupulosity and helping them overcome that spiritual cross. So if you'd like some help with that, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about the ways that you can overcome those tendencies to scrupulosity. Excuse me. But I do hope that the suggestions we've made here will help you, you know, acknowledge the mistakes you've made in the past, but not in a way that's condemning. In a way that allows you to see how you can make a positive difference in the present, how to be a blessing to others in the present, which is what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at those past mistakes, but say, and now I can learn from that to be a blessing moving forward. You know, the enemy wants us to look at those past mistakes and say, oh, I'm a total screw-up and there's no hope for me. That's not where God wants us to dwell, and I hope that these suggestions will help get you to that place where you can see how much God loves you and the blessing that God wants you to be. Thanks for the call, Sandy. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or, again, to learn more about how we address scrupulosity through CatholicCounselors.com. And with that, we are taking a break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled Expectation Exasperation. Does somebody in your life say that you just want way too much from them? Maybe they accuse you of nagging them or say that they think they can never please you. Maybe they roll their eyes and act disgusted and irritated or make you feel guilty anytime you ask for help. Or alternatively, maybe you struggle to live up to your own expectations, or someone else's, and you're always feeling like you can never measure up. We want to help you find a graceful cure for expectation exasperation. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions coming up right after the break.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Expectation Exasperation. Are the expectations you have for yourself or others stressing you out? We want to help you set more realistic goals and overcome that expectation exasperation. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jeannie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I was calling because I think this is something that I really need to hear. I'm not sure that I'm being too hard on my children. I have one that graduated and is getting ready to go into college, but it seems that I've hand-walked her into everything that she's doing, and she says that I'm being all up in her business, and she knows what she's doing, and to give her her space, and I'm in her way. And then the next thing, she turns around, she's, "I love you, Mom." And then walks away. And
well, you can have a both end, but let me ask you this, Jeannie. Is she giving you proof that she can do any of this by herself?
No.
Did you say, I'm sorry,
you said no.
When she went to enroll for college, I hand-walked her there. I made sure she did what she had to do. If not, it was not going to get done. And going to and from work, if I'm not taking her, she has nowhere to go, you know. I'm trying to teach her how to be responsible with her money as well, and as soon as it hits the bank, it's by the bank the next day, you know.
Well, okay, so I think Jeannie, though, that you know, there's a way to teach people to be responsible, where we kind of hand off more and more responsibility to them as they get a little bit older, and there's a way to do it that's suffocating, that then ultimately leads them to be less and less responsible the more we try to help them. And from what I'm picking up, based on what your daughter's saying, you're right that she's not responsible and she's not taking care of the things. But I'm also picking up from you that because of that, you swoop in and do too much. And so it's kind of an all or nothing thing, right? Where, you know, you haven't over the years been able to give her responsibility for part of a thing. And because of that, you know, you either see her doing it all or doing nothing, and then you swoop in and kind of help her and drag her through the process. And so what's happening here is that she's becoming less and less responsible with the more and more help that you give. And unfortunately, at this age, the only thing you can really do is back off and let her fail. And because she has to learn how to handle it on her own, and the more you kind of come in, the more it's going to get worse. So I'm going to suggest that you back off, or at least look for little parts of a thing that she can take responsibility for with some accountability, right? Where you break a task down into, you know, five steps or whatever, and she's responsible for the first step. And I would definitely recommend you do this with your younger kids, okay? Because you don't want them to be in the situation that she's in now. But you know, as parents, you know, as kids are getting a little bit older, we want to make sure that we give them part of that responsibility. And if they mess up, then they have to learn from that, and we can support them through that and help them do better the next time. But I'm getting the impression from the way you're describing the dynamic between the two of you, you know, you when you see that they're not going to succeed, then you just sort of swoop in and you drag them through it. And you need to not do that moving forward. I think it's probably too late for you to adopt that approach with your 18-year-old. If there are certain things you can, you know, like I said, break down into steps and give her a piece of, and that then that can still be helpful. But for the most part, especially since she's going to school, you're not going to be able to be there hovering over her, making sure that she's doing all the things, right? You're going to have to give her the space to mess up and get her own life in order. And I know that's going to be really hard for you to do. But there's no other choice, really, since school's starting, you know, sort of immediately, right? So I want you to really focus on that with her, just getting yourself to a place where you can let her have that space to struggle and fail, come back and stand on her own two feet. And with the younger kids, don't see this as an all-or-nothing thing. You know, break a task down into small pieces. You know, let them struggle to do one of those five steps, right? Or one of those five or ten pieces or whatever, and you can help them with the rest. But then as they get a little bit older and a little bit more responsible, you can start backing off and giving them more of that responsibility for it. We talk more about these kinds of things on Catholic HOM, the app that supports families and building a more loving, caring, connected family life. I hope that you'll join the Catholic Home community, because we'd love to continue this conversation on the app. Check it out. Download Catholic HOM today. And we'll be back with more of your calls in a minute.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
You know, maybe we need to ask ourselves, do we really know Jesus? Maybe another way to ask that would be, how familiar are you with the Gospels? When I was living in D.C., I was on the plane taking a late flight home, sitting next to a young girl. She was probably 16, 17. I had my collar on, and we got talking, and she said, somehow in the course of the conversation, she acknowledged that she was running away from home and was in the midst of an awful lot of difficulties that were going on. Her story seemed to be remarkably akin to the story of the prodigal son, which we just heard this past Sunday at Mass, huh? And so I started to speak a little bit about that with her. And I said, you sound a little bit like the younger son in the story of the prodigal son. And she looked at me like I was from Mars. And I said, are you not familiar with the story of the prodigal son? And she says, no, never heard it. And I just looked at her and I says, oh my goodness, are you in for a wonderful evening?
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. Maybe you've even prayed the prayer of spiritual communion. Spiritual communion is a concept that goes all the way back to the 4th century. It flourished in the Eastern Church and gradually moved west. Spiritual communion stresses the transcendence of God, where we unite our desires, intentions, and loves with the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the consecration of the Eucharist at the altar. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. No matter how old our kids are, they'll always want our love. They'll always crave our approval, a word of encouragement, any sign that lets them know that we think they're showing some strength, doing something right, or at least trying to pursue something worthwhile. No matter how damaged a relationship, every adult child wants to know that their parents are proud of them for something. We need to remember this. It's critical that parents of adult kids look for the good intentions behind the things our adult kids are doing and try to express our pride in the efforts they're making to pursue those good things. That can be hard to do, especially if we disapprove of the way they're pursuing those intentions, but learning how to do this is the first step in being mentors to our adult children. To learn more, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Expectation Exasperation, as we talk about the times when either people react to our expectations of them as if we are, you know, just expecting way too much, or we're struggling under the weight of our own expectations for ourselves or others' expectations of us. 877-573-7825.
Before we go to our next call, we want to send out congratulations to two more members of the EWTN radio family. Queen of Victory Radio in Butte, Montana is celebrating 19 years with EWTN.
And Veritas Catholic Network serving Norwalk, Stamford, and Bridgeport, Connecticut marks 5 years with us. Congratulations to Tom Downey in Butte and Steve Lee in Connecticut, from all of your friends here at EWTN. And listeners, wherever you are tuning into EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN radio station with your prayers, certainly, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong and supporting you in living a more faithful and abundant life for generations to come. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Our show today, Expectation Exasperation. Does someone in your life say you want too much from them? Or do you struggle to live up to your own or someone else's expectations? Let us help you find graceful cures for expectation exasperation.
Let's talk now with Kendall, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky.
Kendall, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi, thank you. I have a question, and this is regarding both for married folks and those who are just dating, just some advice. If one person is pursuing inner healing and has expectations for another in the relationship to do so, and clearly the lack of inner healing is affecting the relationship.
So let me stop you for just a second, because you're kind of talking about relationships in general. Is there a particular, because you shared with our screener you had some concerns about your parents. Is this what this is about, or is it something about your own relationship? Who are we talking about here?
Well, it is concerns about my parents, but also the way that affects, you know, my dating relationships as well, just seeing it through that lens. So one of my parents is heavily involved in inner healing and ministry associated with that, has a background in psychotherapy and things like that. And my other parent is a tradesperson, is involved in church to the extent of occasionally going to reconciliation and going to Mass almost every Sunday. But there's a lack of inner healing in one side of it, and it's greatly affecting the relationship. So just how to navigate that, because I can tell it is exasperating.
Okay. And so are you wondering, when you say how to navigate that, are you wondering, you know, how to change your relationship with your parents about this, or are you asking more specifically about your own dating relationships? Because you sort of referred to both there.
I see some parallels. However, I'm currently displaced due to my home being renovated, so I'm living in my parents' home. So I'm able to closely over the last month, and just realizing that there may be parallels when one person in a relationship pursues inner healing and an authentic relationship with God, and the other may not be.
Okay. So a couple of things. First of all, in your relationship with your folks, it's not really your place to be their therapist or to be their fixer. If either parent comes to you and complains about, you know, the other parent, the best thing you can do is empathize and say, I'm really sorry that you're going through that. That sounds like something you need to talk to a counselor about. And then help them, you know, maybe identify a few sources that they can turn to for that support. But it's not your job to be your parent's fixer.
And that includes the parent who already has a background in psychology, is already doing spiritual things. That parent might be like, well, I know all this stuff already. Well, no, you need a third party to help you figure out how to get the balance in your marriage, get your emotional and spiritual needs met, and also keep you from driving my other parent crazy and trying to get those met. So it's important to encourage that.
So the second point, there's something. So John Gottman is probably the best known marriage researcher maybe in the world, and he talks about how happy marriages are rooted in something he calls the ability to accept influence. And the idea of accepting influence is that I'm basically I love you more than my comfort zone, right? So if you are passionate about something and interested in something and care about something, you know, even if I don't particularly care about it, because I love you, I want to learn more about it. Maybe I'm not going to love it as much as you do, but I want to be able to have conversations about it. I want to be the person that you feel comfortable sharing, you know, new insights or successes or, you know, whatever about that thing. I don't want to be a person who says, oh, well, that's your thing. Don't bother me with it. Right. And the more husbands and wives are willing to accept influence from each other, by seeing the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things that their mate finds true, good, and beautiful, the happier that marriage tends to be. What that means for you in your own dating relationships is make sure that you're finding somebody, not who necessarily loves all the things that you love equally, but who's willing to learn, right? Who's willing to come alongside of you and say, you know what, if that's something that's important to you, I want to know something about it too. I want to go into that as far as I can. So the other thing that I'll put out there is it is important to not view this as an objective, like, limit, okay, but to be patient with other people's limitations and their need to grow into something, right? And I'm just kind of going back to your parents' relationship here for just a second, and I don't know anything about it, so I'm just, you know, putting it out there, take it or leave it. You know, especially when it comes to emotional and spiritual growth, we can be a little pushy about it, right? In ways that are that. Like, what am I trying to get at here? The idea that your mother, for example, has the right to expect that your father would want to participate in this more than he perhaps is. But she also has to resist the temptation to come off as haughty or I'm better than you because, right? This is something that she can address with him directly by saying, look, this is an issue of respect, right? When we respect each other, we try to find the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things we find true, good, and beautiful. We don't just say, you know, well, that's not my thing, I'm not going to do that. Right? So she has a right to be upset about that and to address it on that level. But she doesn't have a right to kind of lord this capacity for this, the, you know, for being kind of developed in this area over her husband. And my feeling is that there might be a little bit of that going on, where there's a little bit of passive aggressiveness on your dad's part because he feels consistently judged. Yeah. By your mom. But again, that's not something you can solve, but it is something to kind of look for in your own relationships. I think moving forward, the most important takeaway for you is make sure that you're dating people who have that ability to accept influence, and that you're practicing that ability to accept influence in others, so as you find somebody to date and eventually marry, you're making sure that you're challenging yourselves, both of you, to love each other more than you love your comfort zones.
And this really is part of what Scripture is telling us when it tells us to not yoke ourselves unevenly in a marital relationship. You want to be with somebody who can relate on all the levels, but especially the psychological and spiritual levels that you need to relate on. Because to have true oneness in a marriage, you need to be tending each other's souls. And each other's souls consist of understanding each other's feelings, leading each other spiritually, helping each other to grow, being able to pray with each other, being able to empathize with each other's feelings, you know, all the array of feelings.
And when, you know, in a healthy relationship, when one person goes to the other, you know, they should have the reasonable expectation that, you know, if I ask my wife for something, she's going to say, she's not going to, you know, I treat it like, you know, you said jump and now I say how high, but I'm asking you for this. And so, you know, the answer should be, well, yes, let's figure it out. Or
let's
sure, I have some concerns, but let's work toward that. Right.
Exactly. Or, you know, that feels uncomfortable to me, but I love you and respect you enough to walk through this with you and try to learn and grow. Just be patient with me. It's, again, not like, oh, my spouse wants this, and I'm just going to jump and say, you know, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. It's that heart-to-heart, soul-to-soul, growing and developing together. So really, Kendall, you really do, as you're dating, and if you're dating someone now who's sending, like, being with your parents is sending up these little, like, warning signs to you, listen to that. That's the Holy Spirit who put you in this situation with having to move back in with your parents because of the remodel to maybe give you that warning of, maybe this person isn't going to be able to meet all of your needs for a lifetime.
I will say this, although you're not at the point where you're getting married, I would encourage you to check out our book, For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, because it gives you a clearer sense of what you as a Catholic woman has a right to expect from a healthy Catholic marriage. It just walks through the Catholic vision of marriage and kind of helps you see what to look for in a partner, what to expect from a husband, and go in with your eyes wide open about what you really want and what you really have a right to expect as a strong Catholic woman. Thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Today's show is titled Expectation Exasperation. Does someone in your life say you want too much from them? Maybe they accuse you of nagging them or say they can never please you. Maybe they roll their eyes and act disgusted and irritated or make you feel guilty whenever you ask for help. Or alternatively, maybe you struggle to live up to your own expectations and you're always feeling like you're never measuring up, you're never doing enough, you can never be enough. Or someone else is putting their expectations on you and you feel like you can never measure up in their eyes. Whatever the situation is, we want to help you find graceful cures for expectation exasperation. 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2.
Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
And, you know, we picked that scripture today because it really speaks to the idea that we have a right to expect that the people who say they love us will be there for us, right? And, you know, and as long as we're doing the, you know, I propose some questions at the beginning of the show to know whether our expectations are right. I just want to hit those again. You know, is what I'm asking for healthy or good for this person? Would they be healthier or better or, you know, healthier or whatever, or the relationship be stronger if they did this thing? You know, can what I'm expecting be done in a healthy way? And thirdly, when I'm communicating those expectations, am I expressing a willingness to make reasonable accommodations that consider their needs too? As long as I'm doing those three things, I probably have a right to ask for that thing and expect that it'll happen in some way. If not, then I might need to make some adjustments. But going back to what St. Paul is saying here, you know, we do have that right to expect that we'll bear each other's burdens, because that is how we fulfill the law of Christ. With that, we're taking a break. When we come back, more of your calls about expectation exasperation. Stick around.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
What is catechesis and why do we care? The job of catechesis is to reveal all the joy as well as the demands of the way of Christ, says the Catholic Catechism. The way of Christ is summed up in the catechesis of the Beatitudes. Jesus gave us the 8 Beatitudes in his Sermon on the Mount. The Catholic Catechism tells us this teaching is the only path that leads to the eternal beatitude, happiness, for which the human heart longs. The catechesis of sin and forgiveness challenges us. Unless man acknowledges that he is a sinner, states the Catechism, he cannot know the truth about himself, which is a condition for acting justly, and without the offer of forgiveness, man could not bear the truth. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Expectation Exasperation. We're talking about those times when you're wondering whether you're expecting too much of others, yourself, or others are expecting too much of you. 877-573-7825.
And as we talk about who we're supposed to be and we try to reach higher heights together, we often find it's a good idea to surround ourselves with beautiful sacramentals that remind us of who we are, really are, and our dignity in Christ. And in doing that, EWTN Religious Catalog has some wonderful things to help you do that, including a beautiful reproduction of the Madonna, commonly known as Madonna of the Streets. This small piece features delicate gold embossed accents and is framed under glass with a pale pink mat in a gold frame. The frame's about 5 inches wide by 7 inches high and has an easel on the back as well as a triangle hook for hanging.
That's available now at EWTNRC.com, so check that out. It's just a beautiful image, and it should be part of your home, inspiring you every day. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with James, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, James. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yeah, so I have a 16-year-old daughter who's, she's going to, I don't know, some kind of special school, a career academy, I guess. And she's taking college courses, and she's involved in all these extracurriculars at school. But the problem that I'm having with her right now is that as she's preparing for college, she's being told that because she's not in the top 15% of her class, she's in the top 20, that she's not going to get scholarships and not be able to go to college. And so she's very anxious and very afraid, and that she's not going to measure up to her expectations of becoming a dentist. And I don't know how to help her with this because, admittedly, she's grown up watching us struggle to pay bills and stuff like that until recently. The Lord blessed us and changed all that. But her main thing in life is to not end up like how we've had to live for her whole life at this point. And so she's afraid of the school is telling her that she's not going to be able to go to college, and all these things. And now she's got this mounting anxiety. She's crying all the time. And I just don't know how to break through that.
Okay. I'm so sorry that you guys are going through that. That's really rough to watch your kid struggle that way.
It's so rough, and it is such a lie that the school is putting on her, and I can tell you that personally. But my question is your child a praying child? Do you guys pray together? Does she pray on her own to discern her life, her future? What's her situation with God?
We have tried to instill that in both of our children. We're regular church attenders, and we've tried to instill the sacraments in their lives and the faith as much as we possibly can. We pray as a family, admittedly not as much as we should. However, you know, I couldn't tell you what her prayer life is like because she's not vocal about it. So I don't really.
Okay. Okay. Well, when you say you pray as a family, could you? And I promise there's a point to this. How do you guys pray as a family when you do?
We pray the rosary. I am
okay.
Yeah, and things like that. That's about it, really.
Okay, and that's good. What we're getting at here, though, is to kind of take your family prayer life in a more personal direction. So prayers like the rosary or chaplets, they're beautiful prayers, but what they're meant to do is to take our prayer life deeper, right? And it sort of presumes a foundation of more vocal personal prayer, right? Where on our own, we're bringing our concerns, our hopes and dreams, the blessings, whatever, all of that to the Lord every day. So, you know, the reason Lisa started with this is that she'd like you guys, and we'd both like you guys, to be praying about this together as a family. And let me give you an example of how. You know, Lord, you know, our daughter is just really struggling right now, and she has all these hopes and dreams and these desires, and she's getting all kinds of pressure. Just please help us know how. This is the important part. Help us know how to respond to this. Help her know how to respond to her hopes and dreams in ways that are healthy. Help us to know how to be the parents she needs us to be, so that we know how to support her and get her the help that she needs to succeed in her life, but also to feel peaceful. Help us all to have a peaceful spirit about this and know what you would have us do. And you're praying that way every day, you know, and just really talking to God in each other's presence, so that you're listening to what the Holy Spirit can say as each of you talks to God about this. So that's number one. I think that's the most important thing in this thing, is just being able to pray together about this, right?
One of the other things that I would love for you to do, just to help her understand that the pressure that this school is putting on her is really a pressure that the school just wants everybody getting the best scores they can so they can brag. And it really is. I mean, we've done this with all of our kids. They've seen this happen in their lives, and we've kept them steady through the whole thing. There are some wonderful YouTube videos that are done by medical students, medical residents, dentists that did not get the perfect scores, did not have the perfect grades, and talk students through how do you get into you know, your health profession, even if that's the case for you. And she'll see she's doing much better than a lot of them did in high school and college.
What should he search for that? Because I know that we've looked at a lot of those videos, but I don't...
You know, just simple things like, you know, healthcare professions, you know, lower grades, how to succeed, anything like that. You'll see them start to come up in Instagram and Instagram Reels. You go ahead and search that and then share those with her so she's not wasting her time, you know, searching on.
Yeah, because she's not going to believe you, right? Because, you know, but if you're able to find doctors and dentists,
yeah,
who have had that experience of maybe not having the best grades.
And there are lots of them. And also ways to do that and ways to know that they also got tons of scholarships. So really the school is selling her a real bill of goods for a kid who's doing as well as she is. The third thing I would highly suggest is, if you can get her own counselor who she can talk this stuff through with, and that person can do the checks and balances with her, so it's not just coming from mom and dad, that can really help with the anxiety. Also, that counselor should be able to teach her real techniques and skills to lower her anxiety reactions.
So building on that, my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, could be a real resource for you guys to go through together, or at least to give to her to develop spiritual, emotional, and other techniques for combating anxiety. Again, that's Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety.
And if you can, I'd really like you to go through it with her and make it part of your prayer time together.
If you have somebody to work with locally, that's great. If not, if you're looking for faithful ways to help her respond to this, I'd encourage you to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com.
And in fact, I just went right out of my mind, the success, St. Sebastian Center, that's attached to CatholicCounselors.com, is starting a webinar very shortly in the next week or so here that deals with school and test anxiety and skills to be able to overcome that. So you may want to look at the Catholic Counselors website and check that out for her as well.
All right, James, the good news is, though, that there is a way through this. There's a way to help her calm down about all of this and have a healthy perspective on it. I hope these suggestions questions will be helpful for you. If you'd like to download the podcast later, you know, play it for her, play it for your wife, so that you all have sort of a plan for how to move forward, please do so. And we are here for you if you'd like to work with us more through CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks again for the call. And we have added you and your daughter to our More to Life prayer list, too. All right, with that, you know, we've got about 30 seconds here before they play us out. So, you know, as we talk about this idea of expectations, again, remember those three questions, right? Is what I'm expecting healthy and good, either for myself or this other person? You know, can what I'm expecting be done in a healthy way by me or this other person? And finally, am I willing to make reasonable accommodations that consider their needs or my other needs, you know, for rest, for meals, for prayer, for whatever? If I can say yes to those questions, my expectations are probably reasonable. And if not, make the necessary adjustments. And if there's more that we can do to support you in overcoming the expectation exasperation you're feeling, either because of the frustration you feel when you ask others to help you, the exasperation you feel under your own expectations, or the expectations other people you care about are putting on you, come to Catholic Counselors, where we can help you find faithful ways to transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Well, thanks for tuning in. We hope you have a blessed day. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.